Online? No? Yeah. Okay. A place of, Scripture tells us of, in the one verse, that it's a place of 12 wells and 70 palm trees. And what do we associate palm trees with? Dates, thank you. Dates. Now, you either like dates or you dislike dates, but what it is fruit in its season. And it's a fruit of sweetness. And it's a fruit of sustenance. But it was the prospect that at Elim they had watered and fruit of sweetness. In the midst of an arid place, we can come into a sweetness. Now I believe, as we're in that experience, it's a time of to revive. And the Scripture says, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make yourself known. A set time for God's people to receive from the Lord, I believe. You know, Jesus says to me, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's a lot in the learn of me, I believe. Jesus wants to give us rest. He wants to learn how to rest. He wants us to learn how to receive. The time of refreshment in the house of God. You know, a time for setting up a waymark of encouragement. And it says in Ephesians 1:15, it says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, I believe that is an instruction for us to come with thankful hearts for brothers and sisters and to lift them up in our prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. A time of refreshment. A time of refreshment. A time of restoration. To be in a right place with God. You know, a time of restoration, time of forgiveness, a time of putting right our thoughts, our attitudes, our lives. A time of renewal, the renewing of the mind. That we might sort out what is really important for each of us. You know, Scripture says, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. What is really, really important? You know, we came and prayed on Tuesday night, didn't we? And we just lifted up our brother Mark. And that's all we did. Because to us, it's really, really important that God moves on his eyes. You know, do we get desperate? Do we become zealous? Do we become indignant sometimes? You know, when David was coming before Goliath, he was indignant. that Goliath should belittle the children of Israel, God's chosen people. He was indignant. Do we get indignant? Do we get zealous? Is it that important? Or are other things in our lives more important? You know, are we prepared to be fools for Christ's sake? I believe this time's a process, a time of reflection, a time to consider, a time to consolidate and to put right under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a time to nurture His body, His church in this place, to bear one another's burdens as we allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to develop and grow in us, in our hearts, in our lives. The fruits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit growing in your heart today? What does the Lord require of us? Scripture says, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. But I believe in this context of what God's doing with us at the moment, I believe the Lord wants nothing but for us to be still and know that He's God. To hear His voice. To know the joy of burdens being lifted. A time of restoration. A fresh joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That the joy of the Lord might overflow. You know, I've noticed recently that when we're praising the Lord, like John said about it the other day, the volume in the praise is exponential to the number of people. It's unbelievable. It's almost you can reach out and touch it. God's doing a new work. You know, I believe, I said on Tuesday, I think we're creatures of habit. The creatures of habit are barriers for the Lord Jesus Christ moving. Because we always do it this way. Because we always, you know. Do you ever get into the place where if you don't do things in sequence, you wonder what's going to happen the rest of the day? You know, you can become into this kind of habit without knowing it, that you do things in a particular way. And then you find, possibly you find when you get older, that if you don't do it in a particular way, you've forgotten something. You know? That ring on my finger, because I lost it in the summer and this is a new one, I put it in a box. And I put it in the box on my dressing table. And when I put it on, I move the box onto the front of the dressing table so I know I've put it on, in case I lose it. How many times have I gone out thinking, you can feel it, and it's not there. Did I put it on? You know, and you think, this is madness. But we're creatures of habit. And God wants to break the habit. He wants us to be wholly dependent upon Him. And be ready for the exciting walk that He's going to take us on. Because I believe life with the Lord Jesus isn't dull. If we can only just hold it all loosely in our hands and let the Holy Spirit move. But what's He doing with us? I believe prayer is becoming more important. I believe it's becoming more vital. I know things are being put right. We're beginning to accept a responsibility for one another. Relationships are becoming more real, I believe. You know, David mentioned the parable of the sower last week in regard to salvation. But it caused me to think, might have caused me to think because I was planting some plants the day before yesterday, what soil are we planted in? And will it enable us to thrive? What soil are we planted in? And will it enable us to thrive? And then to say, and what soil are we planting our children in? And how are we tending the young shoots? Because what we're planted in can cause us to grow or cause us to wither. And my greatest experience of gardening was when I thought I'd grow some runner beans. And the soil was rubbish. It was full of glass and stones, and I got all that out. And I dug a trench and I put newspaper in, because I'd seen that's what my dad did. And I put the seeds in and I covered it up and I waited. It was quite a long trench. And there wasn't one shoot at all. Clearly, the ground wasn't right. Or the seed wasn't right. But if we're in good soil, we can grow. And God doesn't want withered plants. He doesn't want plants that then come above the surface. He wants us to grow strong in the knowledge of His love. And He wants us to bring our children up strong in the knowledge of His love. You know, Dylan's 16th birthday today. You know, you've been a blessing to us, Dylan, on the drums over recent weeks. We've missed not having drums. But he's 16. I was looking at an old hard drive of mine during the week, and I found some photographs of my grandchildren when they were kind of like that big. And you think, wow, 16 years later we've got a Dylan. You know? From some chocolate-covered, snotty, grotty children peering between the banister rails in our house, and they're growing into young men and women. But young men and women who know what it is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And what will God do with the people who love Him? What can God do with the people who are wholly abandoned to Him? You might think, I don't know where I'm going this morning, that might be the case. But when Lou spoke the week before last, she spoke about in the 23rd Psalm that the Lord prepares a table for us in the face of our enemies. A table for us to sit with Him. Not to stand, not to kneel, but to sit with Him in the presence of our enemies. You know, that's a precious place to be. That it calls me to think about this psalm, because this psalm, Psalm 23, more than any other psalm, I believe, embraces the very nature and character of the Lord. Who He is, and as such, what He does for us, and how He empowers us to live victorious Christian lives. Because throughout that psalm, we see all of the names of Jehovah. Let me share it with you. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, when David wrote that, David knew what it was to be a shepherd. Although his brothers said to him, why don't you get back to those few scrawny sheep in the wilderness? Why are you here, kind of, in the midst of battle? And when he went before Saul and said, look, you know, I will go out and slay this giant. And he said, but you're only a youth. And he said, look, I have killed a lion and a bear who attacked my sheep. And you think, you know, the kind of pastoral scene of the shepherd on the hillside, just in the sunlight, in the grass, and just looking after his few sheep. Well, that's different when it's a barren place in the middle of winter and the dead of night. David knew how to look after his sheep in those situations, just as the Lord Jesus knows how to look after us in those situations. When many would give up, the Lord Jesus Christ says that he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always there. Our shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He restores my soul. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. You know, and the love of the Lord Jesus comes out in this. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. I'm all that you stand in need of. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is there. He will never leave us or forsake us. And it goes on to say, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. You know, David knew that he could defeat Goliath. And he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. The taunts of the enemy. Let no man's heart fail. Because Jehovah Sabaoth is on our side. The God of armies. The warrior king. And it says in Ephesians 19. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Far above principalities and powers. Ephesians 2 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass and sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By the grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And where does Jesus sit? Above all principalities and powers. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. And he goes on to say, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Church, this morning we have made known to the principalities and powers that Satan has no authority here in this place. But it goes on in the Ephesians 6:12, doesn't it? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And sin shall no longer have dominion over you, because we're sat. The Lord Jesus prepared a table for us, a feast of good things, in the presence of our enemy. You know, I believe the Lord issues notice to the enemy. As we sit at the table with him, in his presence, that the church of Jesus Christ can look Satan in the eye and resist him without fear and without intimidation. He goes around like a roaring lion. But we know the God of armies is on our side. Our eyes open, brothers and sisters, that we might behold the power of Almighty God and his love towards us. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Jehovah Makedesh, my sanctifier. He anoints us. We're an anointed people. We're a chosen people. We're set apart people to bring him glory, to bring him praise, to bring him honour. That we as trophies of his grace might declare the glory of our God. I tell you, they go on a building site and hear them singing choruses. Wow. Usually when you walk past a building site, it's a load of men leering and whistling at women and girls. Some difference. What God can do. We watched Neil's progress closely. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jehovah Nisi, my banner, the ensign of the Lord Jesus Christ, under which we dwell securely. He is our banner. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Are we those people? I believe in this time of refreshment, we will be those people. People who do exploits for their God. He just wants us to learn to rest. And to know that in our own strength we can do nothing, but in his strength we can be more than conquerors. Come a restoration. Time of refreshment, a time of renewal, a time of making us the people God wants us to be, not the people we've been thus far. He wants the barriers broken down. You know? He said there was a veil rent in two that we might have access into the Holy of Holies, into the very throne room of Almighty God, into the presence of our Saviour, a place to dwell. David said he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of his God. What a place to be. What a place to be, to usher people into the presence of God. I wouldn't mind bit of that. You know, just to usher people into the presence of God. Daniel 11:32 says, "The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits." What is the message for today? The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We know that Elim was a resting place from which they went on in the strength that Elim provided. And I believe this is a resting place for us to go on and do exploits for our God. In the back streets of Parkston, a grotty handful of people can do exploits for God. Now, I mentioned the volume of praise. Why do we think we've got volume in praise? There's no more of us than there was 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 12 months ago. But I believe the angelic hosts are joining the praises of God's people. Or we're joining the angelic host. And I like to think it's the latter, that we're joining the angelic host. We're coming to those who stand near and there's a place for us. There will be new paths for us to walk in, new ground for us to inherit, as we allow the Lord to fulfill our individual destiny and have soft hearts before Him, willing hearts, not our own agendas, but for Him to be fully established in our lives as our only priority, our only hope, our only strength, our only joy, the very source of our life and living. Who knows what God can do? It's one thing to read the book, brothers and sisters, but I believe God's moving us into a place where we live in the book. And we can come with a confidence before Him that our God is able. And our God will perform what He's promised. And we will see with our eyes the fulfillment of God's purposes for us, His people here. As we come with soft hearts before Him. As we come willing to have the barriers broken down. As we come willing to be fools for Him. What can God do with a people like that? He talks about the potter. And He's forming us into vessels of honour unto our God. Amen. Amen. Father God, come and have your way. Lord Jesus, you are all that we stand in need of. Psalm 23 tells us you are all that we stand in need of. I pray, Father God, don't stop the work you're doing. Let's pray that we may be willing, Lord Jesus, to move under your anointing. That all honour, all praise, and all glory may go to you. And we may see a standard of righteousness raised in this place for Jesus. That all may know that you're alive. All may know that you're real. All may know that you're someone with whom we have to deal. Be magnified, Lord Jesus, I pray, in our midst, for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen.